Well, hello. It's great to be here again. It is some years, but well, I remember the time we came to Foxwood with my friend Jeff Jay, who you remember, quite an elderly gentleman. He is now 98. He is in a residential home, but he's still full of the Lord and witnesses to the people there. So, dear brother Jeff, and it's great that he's still part of our ministry in the Gideons. Now, as Steve has said, I've come to talk about the Gideons, but obviously the main thing is to talk about what God is doing through the Gideons. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing. And this verse from Colossians 1 encapsulates, well, what God is doing through the work of the Gideons in 200 countries throughout the world. What I hope to do is to inform you a bit about our work and to thrill you and inspire you with the stories of its impact, and also invite you to help us in this work of reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ on behalf of the church in this day and age, here in York and Britain and right across the world. Inevitably, there will be some statistics, such as that we've recently celebrated the 2 billionth scripture given out by the Gideons since 1908. Wow. But if the Bible Society given half a billion in a year, that's not very much, is it? But never mind, that's a great thing. And in this country, we've given out 40 million. We've been established here for 60 years, and we've given out 40 million in that time. But I will keep the statistics to a minimum. An 11-year-old boy was given one of these New Testaments and Psalms at school. I guess that you or your children or grandchildren will have had them. But he was very apprehensive. His father was a militant atheist and wouldn't allow anything of God in the house. So he read it surreptitiously. And praise God, he came to faith. And he told his brother, and he came to faith. And they told the mother, and she too became a Christian. What great evangelists they were at age 11. But he said he didn't dare tell his father, because of what his reaction would be. But his mother said, leave it to me. Miraculously, when she did, the dad burst into tears. He'd been so affected by the change in the family's life since coming to Christ. A whole family brought to Christ through one Gideon testament. You see, we're not just a Bible distribution agency. Obviously, that's what we do, but we're not just that. We're a missionary organization, because we're reaching out in these 200 countries with the gospel of Christ to a needy world. And our main aim is to bring men and women and boys and girls to faith in Jesus Christ. The Gideons International is an organization of Christian business and professional men and their wives who believe that the Bible is true, relevant, and up to date, and it can change people's lives forever. And we seek to reach out on behalf of the church. We don't do this as some strange body. We're all members of churches. We do it on behalf of the church, to distribute in what we call the traffic lanes of life. Hotels, hospitals, schools, prisons, and various other places. Neil was a businessman who admitted that his main aim in life was to make money, to get a better house, a better car. But his wife had left him when he checked into a hotel in Renfrew in Scotland, feeling suicidal. His mind was going round and round, but he spotted the Bible. He flicked through it, not really interested, but then he came across the front pages where to find help, which are the unique feature of Gideon Bibles. And this pointed him to verses about feeling lonely or depressed. And this had a real impact on him and convicted him of his materialistic, uncaring life. In the morning he felt completely different, and all thoughts of suicide had been taken away from him. And he said the Lord had given him hope. Hallelujah. And I'm sure you'll have encountered one of our Bibles in a hotel, guest house, motel, youth hostel. We get all over the place. Sadly, some places no longer accept Bibles, or just keep them at reception, which is really not very brilliant. So we're currently engaged in a campaign to keep Bibles in hotels. And that's one way in which you can help. If you go and stay in a hotel, when you go, ask, and if there isn't a Bible in your room, ask them for one. If they say, oh, don't know about this. Well, what we want you to do is to let us know that there isn't a Bible there. That's if they're willing to accept them. Maybe they're not. Maybe you just want to try the water. You mustn't make any promises that the Gideons will come. We hope we may. And let us know on one of these special forms which you can take and are at the back there. Or if there's one missing, obviously, they do go. We stayed in an hotel in Askrig recently. There's none in a room. And the manager was absolutely amazed. She said, well, I checked only a month or so ago, but people do take them away. And praise God for that. We reckon if you pinch a Bible, it's not like taking a bar of soap. You're actually going to read it. So, you know, if they're not there, then again, let us know. If they won't have Bibles, make a comment on the, usually there's a form to fill in. Did you enjoy your stay? No, there was no Gideon Bible in the room. Don't be quite as rude as that. But that does make a difference. Recently, an hotel rang up. They wanted 299 Bibles for all their rooms because just one guest had made a comment that they would have liked a Bible in their room. Wow. Praise God. Recently, Gideons throughout the Northeast have been placing Bibles in hotels covering the route of the Pennine Way and the coast-to-coast walk from Ravenscar across to the other side of the country. Because there's many guest houses catering for walkers. Numerically, I've dropped it on the floor now, but numerically speaking, the largest number of scriptures are those that we give out in schools. And we praise God that many schools are still open to us. Sadly, some aren't. But we present them to pupils at an assembly, and in the York area, which stretches from Easingworld down to Selby and Tadcaster across to Pocklington, so we've got many schools, but we give away or give to the pupils about 3,000 each year. Recently my wife and I were at Joseph Rowntree. For some reason last year they'd missed out, and so we were able to give to years 7 and 8. Next Monday we're going to Canon Lee School, week on Monday, and then in a fortnight to Archbishop Holgate's. But as I say, some in this politically correct age won't have them. Sadly, two in York are close to us. Not long ago, 90% of children in the UK got a Gideon scripture at school. Now it's only 60%. What a commentary on our godless age. And hopefully you'll have found a New Testament in a hospital locker when you're in there or visiting a patient. But again, they disappear or they get tidied away by the nurses into a cupboard. So please ask the chaplain for one in hospital, because they do have a stock. We had a very moving story recently of a young girl who tried to commit suicide and was placed in a locked ward of a mental hospital. She was desperate, and she found a Gideon Bible in the locker, and she sank to her knees holding it and said, please, if there is a God, please please help me. There and then she was touched by God and said she received a wonderful peace and lightness. From that day on, a light came back on within me. I had come to God, my Lord and my Saviour. Hallelujah. And we also go to prisons like Full Sutton and Thorpe Arch and the Young Offenders Institution at Wetherby. Andy was jailed for life for committing murder in Grimsby in 2003. He became depressed, and by 2006 he'd become suicidal, and he was fully determined to take his life, even to the extent that he'd fashioned a noose from somewhere in his cell. But he heard a voice saying, just read that Bible. On the shelf was a blue Gideon New Testament. We put these in prisons as well as hospitals. What good is that going to do me, I thought. Again, the voice said, just read that Bible. And again, he said, what's the point? But the inner voice persisted, just read that Bible. I thought it would pass the night away, he said. And to cut a long story short, he started reading. And he started through. We don't really recommend people to start like a novel from page one, but he did. And he worked his way through Matthew, Mark and Luke. When he came to the story of the prodigal son, God touched him and he came to faith through that. And since then he's become a radiant Christian, bringing many people to faith in the prisons he's been in. Praise God. Other places we go are residential and nursing homes, where we place these rather splendid large print scriptures like the one you got, June, if you remember. And they're a great blessing to people. We put them on cruise liners, channel ferries, oil rigs, all sorts of places. Our latest magazine relates the story of Mary, a young lady who came to faith through reading a Bible on the Queen Mary II going to New York. Her mother had given her a special present to take her to New York on the Queen Mary II, and she found faith. And in March, Southampton Gideons placed 1,800 Bibles on Britain's largest cruise liner, the new P&O Britannia. And although you may say, well, people going on holiday, they don't want it. You know, many people going on a cruise, empty lives possibly, and somehow God will touch them through that. Even in hotel rooms have been said to be the loneliest place in the world if you're on your own. But there's the Bible on duty. We can't be there, you can't be there. The Bible's there 24 hours a day. Recently we've been thrilled to make available special New Testaments for the police in North Yorkshire, with the North Yorkshire Police badge stamped on the front. And that's been great. And also to give out special camouflage New Testaments to members of field hospitals who've trained at Strensel before they've gone out to Afghanistan. That's stopped now, but we still give these camouflage ones to any unit of the army that wants them. And we give them to sea cadets, army cadets, air training corps, scouts, boys and girls brigades, even Butlin's holiday camps. Other places we put doctors and dentists waiting rooms. You say, I've never seen one in mine. Well, maybe the doctors don't want one, but if you can persuade your doctor to have a Bible in his surgery, let us know. The dentist, even solicitors, Steve. And then there's the work overseas. There's just not time. I could spend the rest of the I could spend the whole day telling you about the work overseas in 200 countries, placing over 80 million scriptures a year in 90 different languages. But the good news is there's such a hunger for God's word. I mean, all right, yes, people do come to faith in the British Isles, but there isn't that same hunger, is there, that they have in Africa or India. And in parts of Africa, the only book a child will own will be a Gideon New Testament in Swahili or whatever the language is. The only book they own. We just can't comprehend that, can we? And even among Muslims, we operate in Egypt and Lebanon, Turkey, even in Syria, believe it or not. The Syrian Gideons in Damascus are still meeting weekly for prayer and trying to distribute scriptures. How they can do that, I don't know, but we ought to pray for our brothers in a place like that. Thierry lives in Haiti. Although from a Christian family and a believer in God, his mind was focused elsewhere. He was living in Haiti when the earthquake struck in 2010, and it was a terrible experience. He decided to take things more seriously in his life. The Gideons were distributing New Testaments in French, and he took one and started reading it. His eyes began to open, and he really began to understand. His faith grew stronger. He read it all through for the first time in his life. He found a pastor and was baptized. The Gideons planted that seed, he said, and God grew it. In a school in Tanzania, a young American school teacher was delighted when Gideons came and presented New Testaments, as he'd no textbooks to teach English with. And you know, we're able to give out scriptures. I mean, it's not just us. As you say, there's all these different societies. Friends International, you probably know their work in reaching out to foreign students in York. And we're able to reach many from overseas here in York through that. And often they do take it because they want to learn better English. Well, whatever the reason, they've got the Word of God. Can I tell you about Ravi in India? I was raised, he writes, in an Orthodox upper caste family in India. My father was very strict and controlling. I was a devotee of Hindu and read most of the Eastern religious books, careful to follow all the rituals with utmost dedication. My heart held great hatred for God, for his word, and for his people. My radical Hindu friends at the university and I used to destroy the New Testaments distributed on campus by Gideons. I strongly believed and stated many times, we have 30 million gods and there's no place for Christ in India. By the third year of my studies, I'd become very depressed and isolated. I still remember the place I was sitting on campus when I made the decision to kill myself. Because I did not want to bring shame to my family or have them read about my death in the newspapers, I determined to carry out my plan in the city of Goa, a two-day train ride across the other side of India. On the train, the Lord provided a stranger beside me for a short period of the journey. He was a Christian. He gave me his Bible, which was from the Gideons International, and explained the gospel to me. He also told me I would soon meet some unknown people, and that it was the Lord's plan for me to follow them. When I arrived in Goa, true to the exhortation I had received, I met some people who spoke the language of my home state and who were also followers of Jesus. They were very poor but very loving and rich in Christian faith. I spent 3 weeks with them. Through them, the Lord taught me the purpose of living. The Lord used a Bible from the Gideons to get my attention. He spoke to me through Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Today I am living a Christ-centered life. He is the ultimate meaning of my life. I am a living testimony of Christ, and I love to witness. I'm an active member of the Gideons, working to distribute the same scriptures I once destroyed. Wow. Hallelujah. Friends, why do we do this work? Well, you may say it's obvious, but you know, we believe, as you do, that the Bible is true and as relevant today as at any other time in history. And it has the answer to all life's problems. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And Neil found that out, as do millions of others. We also do it because we know it works from all these stories. It works because God's word is sovereign. God is sovereign, but his word can reach out into the darkest place. Perhaps I may throw out a challenge to you as to how important is the Bible in your lives? 2 Timothy 3, 15 onwards is favourite verses of ours. "From infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men and women of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." We need God's word to enable us to grow up in our faith and be productive Christians in our service for God. How much time do you and I spend reading the Bible? Sadly, statistics show that many, even many committed Christians, do not read the Bible every day of their lives. So here's something which may help you. We reprint those special pages which I was telling you about from the front, Where to Find Help. We reprint them in this rather attractive booklet called Gideon Bible Helps. And that also contains, as well as these Where to Find Help pages, various other useful information, and a scheme of daily reading the New Testament over 2 years. And many people find these very helpful in their own Christian lives, and also able to give to a friend, perhaps, to whom they're witnessing, who wants to discover about the Bible. And if you have an Alpha course or similar outreach, Steve, we can make these available. They don't cost very much. We can make these available to you for that. You see, you can't buy a Gideon Testament. Yes, you may be able to pick one up in Oxfam, because occasionally they do arrive there. But you can't buy a Gideon Testament, apart from something I'm going to mention shortly. But perhaps this is a good substitute. Finally, how can you help us? Because, as I said earlier, we don't do this work alone. We rely on the help of Christian friends and churches to help us in this vital work. If I may give you a challenge, how many people does your fellowship reach in a year? How many people do all the churches in York reach in a year? Perhaps 10%? We have the potential of reaching thousands through the scriptures we place. A former executive director, a wonderful man of God who's still alive, he's in his 90s, but when he was working for us as the executive director, his vision was that because at some time in their lives people would have had the opportunity to receive a scripture, then when revival came, everyone would have their own copy of God's word to help them in their newfound faith. Hallelujah. So how can you help? Well, as you can imagine, the most important thing is prayer. In Isaiah 55, God says that his word will not return to him void or fruitless, but it will accomplish what he sends it out to you. But we believe that although God is sovereign, he does rely on our prayers for the word as it goes out. And so, will you pray for the New Testaments in schools, for these schools that are closed, for the Bibles in the hotels in York, hundreds of Bibles, even though some are closed, there are hundreds of Bibles, and we go out regularly making sure that they're topped up, so that there aren't empty rooms. And in the prisons, you know, we do hear many stories like that of Andy, in the hospital. It's difficult to make sure that every bed in the hospital has a testament, but let's pray that that will be the case. In York St. John, I was saying, you know, one of you young ladies goes to St. John or associated with it. Now, we used to be able to place a testament in every bedroom in the accommodation at St. John University, but sadly, this is no longer the case because people have objected. And in these political correct days, we don't want to offend anyone, do we? So pray for us as we seek as to how we can reach out to the students at St. John while they're here. York University has never been open to Gideon Scriptures because they've always been a secular institution. But we're praying as to some means in how we can still reach out to them there. Secondly, giving. Don't worry, I'm not after your money this morning, although I gather that you may be kind enough to make us a gift. Suffice to say that every penny given to the Gideons goes on the actual purchase and distribution, obviously getting them out to the branches, of these Bibles. The administrative costs of the association are all borne by the members. And there's one rather nice way in which you can possibly make a gift. We have what we call Bible giving cards, so that when someone dies, obviously many people like to give to a charity, cancer research, you can give to the Gideons, a gift which will go on the scriptures, and unlike the rest of our money, which partly goes here and partly overseas, this will be used to provide scriptures entirely in the local area, York and District. And it's not just when someone dies. We have congratulations, happy birthday, an anniversary. Many people don't want gifts these days when they reach a significant anniversary. You can give to the Gideons. And that's a great way of getting the word out. And you can become a friend. I know you're all friendly people, but this is friends with a capital F. Becoming a friend of the Gideons doesn't actually commit you to anything except hopefully to pray for our work and support us. You get a magazine once a quarter, filled with the sort of thrilling stories that I've been telling you this morning. And twice a year we have a meeting at which we can report to you, and perhaps a speaker who's actually been overseas helping the Gideons in the countries in the developing world, who obviously need support from us in the West. And again, it's just wonderful how the children, they go into a school there and they're allowed to go into each classroom and give out a copy of the scriptures, and even sometimes to ask them if they want to accept Christ. Wow. Can't do that at Cannonlea School, can we? But they can in Africa and places. And that's one of the means in which you can actually buy a Gideon scripture, because in our latest magazine, there's, can't see that from there, Friends Personal Witnessing Toolkits. For £15, if you're registered as a Gideon friend, you'll receive 12 special testaments that you can give out in your own personal witnessing, and an excellent book on personal witnessing. Because as well as going to all these places, obviously as Gideons we seek to give out to people ourselves when we can. And again, there's some wonderful stories of that. And also, if you're interested, especially if you're a young person embarking on a career, yeah, you could become a member of the Gideons and help us in this work. So do come and have a word. There's a stall there with the various leaflets and the Bible helps, which you can buy for 75p. and come and have a talk to me afterwards. Well, thank you for listening. It's great to be with you. Can I just tell you a final testimony? A prison chaplain offered to give a New Testament to one of the inmates. Obviously, the one place we can't go giving them personally is in prisons, but the prison chaplains can. But the man refused, saying, "I must be honest, sir, I'd only tear the pages out and roll them up to smoke cigarettes." Well, the chaplain said, "I'll give you this testament on condition that you read each page before you smoke it." And the man agreed. Some years later, a man came up to this prison chaplain who had been preaching at a church, and he said, "Do you remember me, sir? I was in prison and you offered me a testament, and you said I could only have it if I smoked each page." "Well," he said, "I smoked my way through Matthew, Mark and Luke, and when I got to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the Lord touched my heart and I came to faith. And now I've got a happy church-going family and I don't smoke anymore." Thank you, Steve. Thank you, friends.